from England to Brazil. Germany to Argentina. We got you covered. This is the throw-in.
Yeah, could I speak to Sir Alex Ferguson, please? Can I kick it?
Happy Sunday morning, Austin, Texas. No, I am not Kit McConico. My name is Zach Christodoulidis. And I'm joined in studio today by Justin Simmons. Justin, how you doing today?
Doing great, Zach. Man, it's been another awesome morning here in the great state of Texas, Austin, Texas, as usual. And another terrific, pretty much weekend. I hope you got a chance to enjoy your 4th of July.
Yeah, man, I had a great time. Yeah, got to celebrate America's birthday.
Hit up a couple of barbecues, maybe a pool.
Oh, yeah. I actually went up to Round Rock. A buddy of mine, one of my mom's friends has a house where right outside of her house, the Round Rock City fireworks go off. So it was not having to deal with the traffic and all that was great. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, man. That sounds like it was a great time. I got to hit up a pool party. You know, got to eat some great food, got to get some sun.
Your summer body ready?
I'm almost there, man. Trying to play a lot of pickup soccer. Some
gotta be
basketball.
Careful with those pool parties, man.
Oh yeah, definitely so, man. It got a little crazy after a while, but you know, it calmed down. Everybody was okay. Everybody got home fine. Everybody had a good time. That's what matters. I hope everybody had a great weekend as well. As you join us here on the Throw-In 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming worldwide on hornfm.com. And they should also check out the new Horn FM app, right?
That's it.
Again, we would love to hear what you think. We have a lot to get to when it comes to the beautiful game here. You can call us at 512-447-3776, or you can text us at 512-337-3776.
And Justin, we have to start the show with some breaking news.
I was just about to ask if you still had that hot key ready, because it is so important today. And again, we would love to hear what you think about this, folks. But it is now official. Wayne Rooney is going back to Everton. How do you feel, Zach? How does your sister feel?
I don't know. I've been trying to get a hold of her all morning long. She's not responding to any of my texts or my phone calls. I don't know if that's indicative of a mood or how she's feeling, but man, I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed.
You're disappointed? But this was like the natural cycle of the Wayne Rooney lifespan here when it comes to soccer.
Was it? I kind of thought he'd go with a Giggsy approach, where he'd just kind of stay there, maybe be like an assistant coach, maybe coach the youth team at United for a while.
I think it's easier for, lack of the better term here, true midfielders and defensive players to kind of last at a longer clip at their current club and play that type of style, instead of being more of an attacking forward striking player that's dependent upon creating and scoring goals for their team. And that's what Wayne Rooney was supposed to be doing, even at this advanced age, and he just wasn't getting it done.
Well, the problem is, when you get older, it's not necessarily that he's a bad player. He's just lost pace, and that's a vitally important problem. I mean, you see it with the U.S. men's national team as well. We'll get into that a little bit later on, but when older players lose that half a yard on someone else, they just can't create chances the way they used to when they were young.
But at the same token, you have players like Francisco Totti, who played with one club with Roma, who, again, was one of, very similar to Wayne. He played that center forward role. And, I mean, he was electric, but he knew how to read the game, I think, a little bit better than Wayne Rooney does. And that's not taking anything from Wayne. I think you'll agree that he had a fantastic career at Manchester United. But unfortunately, United is looking to move past that era and try to get back into the Champions League fold and win another Champions League.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think it's, and I mean, I'm torn here. I want to say, do you think it's fair? As a United fan, as a fan of the player Wayne Rooney, I want to say, is it fair to him that this is the way he's treated after doing so much for this club?
I mean, we were checking out some of the tweets earlier, right? And some of them were a lot of positive tweets, surprisingly, a lot of sad tweets as well.
A lot of people were on Twitter saying that, you know, for the last 2 years, I've said get Wayne out. And now that he's finally gone, they're feeling a little bit of remorse. They're feeling bad for the way
they
felt.
You don't know what you got until it's gone. I think that's like an 80s song.
Yeah, but I mean, do you really think that now's the time where you know when it's gone? I don't think they're going to realize.
Was Wayne Rooney already gone, even though he was wearing the jersey and sitting on the bench technically? Because that's what it kind of felt like last season.
He started a few games. He played a few games. But was he really able to make results when he did play? No, and that probably didn't help his cause.
Yeah, I was going to say, no offense, you're the true and through United fan here in studio. I am not. Either way, I can kind of care less. My question is he going to start for Everton?
He has to, right?
You would think so. Is he a big money signing? Did they say how much he got signed for?
I know it was a free transfer.
Yes.
So they're not paying off his contract at United or any of that. I can't imagine it's a huge buy for them. I mean, I can't imagine that Rooney's all that expensive, but we do have some audio of him responding to reporters asking some questions. Would you like to hear this?
Yes, definitely. Let's hear what Wayne has to say.
Yeah, I think... As I say,
sounds ecstatic.
He sounds so thrilled, doesn't he?
I
now, obviously, that we're joking there, but he genuinely does seem to be proud. And I think it's a storyline that you don't really see in sports these days. Is I think a lot of people, when he left for United, thought that he was a bit of a sellout.
Whoa.
And for the past however many years, he's been treated that way. And now I feel like he's gaining some respect, I think, from some of the fans. Now that he's going back to his original club.
I think it's kind of like when a player leaves a team that you just don't like the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Yankees. And then you kind of give them a free pass to how good they actually are. And in the case of Wayne Rooney, I mean, this is a guy who was a phenomenal player when he was in his prime.
Yeah. So you're saying that when he was playing at United this last season, it was a case of, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? And now that he's gone, it's more of a case of, well, you know what? You actually really did do a lot during your time here.
Yeah, I think that's what happens anytime when there's an ending to something significant, whether it be a relationship or a career or a sporting career, in this case of Wayne Rooney, is that you're going to start to look back upon all the great things that that person has done. And another thing that kind of works against Wayne Rooney is that we've been seeing him play in the Premier League since age 17. So at 31 to 17, this kid has been on television and has been a superstar. And I say kid, he's only a year younger than I am. So we essentially have seen Wayne Rooney grow up before our very eyes. I mean, all the scandals, the hairlines, the goals, you name it.
Oh,
triumphs.
That's a low
blow.
Did we have to bring his hair into this, man? Did we have to bring the hair plugs into
Hey,
this?
When I talk about Cristiano, I talk about his hair. I figure it's game for Wayne Rooney.
Was
as
the
well.
Hair plugs the beginning of the end for Wayne Rooney?
No, he had good seasons after he got the hair restoration thing.
I remember the first couple games he played after that hair restoration. It was not good.
Yeah, but then it started to even out. He needed to get used to the weight.
Oh, the extra weight on the head. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. You know, that forward lean when he was running, you know, it
slowed him down. If you're getting older, you don't need to add any weight onto your head. Come on, Wayne.
No, it's time to lessen the weight. I'm learning that the hard way myself, man. But I'm really interested to see what your little sister has to say, just because she is a owner of many Wayne Rooney jerseys.
Oh, she has more than I do.
I know.
She has more kits than I do, is impressive.
Like, what do you do with all those? Like, you can't get rid of them, because in 5 years from now, when he does retire, it'll be okay to wear them.
No, I think it's okay to wear them now.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. Why not? It was great for the club.
I mean,
my question is, do you go out and buy the Everton kit?
Oh, that's a good question. Well,
I want to know the answer to that. And I've texted her. I've texted my dad. I can't get a response from any of them.
Well, what about you? I mean, obviously, you're a Wayne Rooney fan, right? I mean, would you go out and buy a kit just to support a player that plays on a different team?
See, I've never been a huge fan of putting the player above the team, just because there's no loyalty in sports anymore.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to become an Everton fan because of this. So why would I go out and buy the kit? Now, my little sister, who loves Wayne Rooney, he is her role model for everything that she does, I think. She has so many Wayne Rooney kits. Her bedroom is painted in Manchester United colors. She's the biggest Manchester United fan everywhere. I don't think you're going to see her get an Everton kit either, but I don't know if she's going to continue to wear the Wayne Rooney stuff.
I remember when we were teasing her about Wayne Rooney starting or sitting in during the regular season when she was in studio here, and I've had some arguments.
Oh yeah, no,
people before in my life when it comes to soccer. But your sister, she
can give you the cold shoulder if you disrespect Wayne.
Yeah, she was passionate about her stance about how good Wayne Rooney was and how good he could be if they let him start.
No, and we were in London a few years ago eating dinner at some Greek restaurant. And she got into it with the owner of the restaurant.
How old was your sister at that time?
It was a couple years ago. You're putting me on the spot. These are answers I should know, but I don't know.
These are answers I should know.
Off the top of my head, she's young, and she probably shouldn't have been getting into an argument with the man that was responsible for making the food. Let me just say that.
I was going to say she's very advanced for her age when it comes to debate.
Yeah, no. And she knows soccer. Like, she loves to play the game. She knows what that position does. That's her position. So she really does look to Wayne Rooney as a kind of role model to see, okay, what can I learn from the way he plays to advance my game?
Yeah.
And for better or worse, I think Wayne Rooney has been a role model for a lot of kids across the world.
So what happened between your sister and the person that was making you guys food in London?
I think she walked out of the restaurant momentarily. I think we did have to leave eventually. A verbal altercation. It did not end well.
Well, I want to hear what you guys think out there. What are you going to do with your Wayne Rooney jersey? You're going to keep it, burn it, save it for later? Going to wear it around proudly when you go to your Manchester United meetings this year?
Get it framed?
Let us know, 512-447-3776, or you can text us, 512-337-3776. Hey, Zach, did we post that commercial, that little clip?
Clip from Everton?
Yeah.
It's shared on my personal Facebook. I can go share it on the Throw-Ins page.
Make sure that you check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. Send us a share. Let your friends know that we exist. I keep on meeting more and more people around town that slowly, slowly hear about us and slowly hear about the soccer scene that is continuously growing here.
No, and I mean, you've been talking this whole segment about how I feel as a Manchester United fan, and yes, I'll play the drop now.
That's like the big, like, advantage that you have working the controls is that you can play whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. But my question to you is, you're the one that has a soccer chant that you're always kind of trying to rub into my face.
Oh, can I still use it?
I don't think you can anymore.
Well, that depends if he sits or starts.
Go ahead and sing the chant so everyone at home knows what we're talking about.
I thought it was perfect. I came up with it during playing FIFA one day. It was like, he was good, then was bad. He was good, now sucks again. His name's Wayne Rooney, and he wears number 10. Will he sit or start again? Glory, glory, Man United, never.
Oh, well, that last part wasn't written on the little show prep sheet.
It was
sheet
not,
here.
But I ad-libbed.
Okay, I don't think we can accept that.
Oh, well, is Wayne ever going to start at Everton?
I think he has to. I mean, we brought up, you know, if they paid a lot of money for him or not. I think that he's probably going to end up starting more. He has to, right? Than he would have if he had stayed at United.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this going to be his final season in the Premier League, and then we see him come to MLS? Or do you think he'll take a big money offer from China instead? Because, I mean, he's going to have a slew of options when it comes to playing away from the Premier League.
I struggle to say that players are going to be going off to China because I think that right now MLS is comparable to China. And I think given the opportunity, players would rather play in the U.S. than in China. I mean, there's so many more benefits, I think.
Do you think the animosity to being a soccer player in the United States is a big selling point for soccer players coming over from high-profile gigs and leagues?
I mean, maybe. I think it's more of a deal for players from South America. Like, we've talked about it in Argentina, how you can get threats to not only you but your family when you play down there. And True. You're not going to get that in MLS. But in England, I'm not really sure they're dealing with that. But Wayne Rooney is a family guy. He has young kids, and I think for sure he'd rather them grow up in England. But I think given the opportunity to have them either go to China or to the U.S., I think he'd prefer to bring them to the U.S.
What MLS team would you like to see him on?
Well, I'd like to say my Portland Timbers, but I think...
Would you really?
Not really, no.
I don't think he would be that helpful in his advanced age. I mean, we kind of see how the Pirlo experiment's going in New York and...
And the Schweinsteiger experiment in Chicago. That'd be kind of interesting if he were to go play with an old Man United teammate.
But what happens if Wayne Rooney has a Landon Donovan moment at Everton? Do you remember when Donovan kind of went out on loan and then he was spectacular?
Yeah, I
mean, for at least half a season,
and that's the point.
And no offense, Wayne Rooney is a much better player than Landon Donovan.
No, that's true.
But he has more wear and tear on his body.
No,
at
he's
this
been
age.
Playing. Yeah, he's been playing
Premier
a lot longer and
since 17.
Yeah, and he's been playing in Europe. Let's
Were you
not
even
forget.
Born yet when he started?
What year?
I don't even recall the year, but I if mean, you're like 22, right? He started when he was 17. You were like an infant.
Probably, yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, he probably, well, yeah, I think he signed at Everton originally in 2002?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think he started when he was 16. Yeah, so it's been a crazy career for him. But I don't know what to say. I mean, I think we've said it all. I think that he probably will start more at Everton. It's probably a good move for him. Whether it increases his value going forward, I don't know. I don't know what his ultimate plan is, if he wants to retire from playing the game after the stint back at Everton, or if he just wants to kind of use that as a springboard to kind of increase his profitability to other leagues. That's an option.
That's true. Well, we knew it was coming, and it has finally happened, and it feels kind of weird, though, still. I haven't gotten quite used to it just
yet.
Are
you a little disappointed that he's not going to be playing in Houston later this month?
Yeah, I guess.
Just to get like, to see him one more time?
You know, just the possibility that he could at least have been there, warmed up. I mean,
we knew from a few weeks ago that he wasn't going to be part of the team coming to America.
Yes.
Like, that was known. I was disappointed then. But I would have loved to have him play in the United Tour one last time. Got to see him play one last time and then have him get sent off to Everton.
But that just goes to show you, man, it's a business. It's just different. I mean, there's very little loyalty, like you mentioned before, and, you know, Mourinho's job is at stake. He's got to win a championship. He has to win Champions League.
No, and he said it himself, that he was kind of disappointed in the lack of transfer activity from United these past few weeks, the summer window. But this is my question to you, Justin. It wasn't a transfer. It wasn't a trade. But who came out on the better end of the deal? Because United just also did acquire Lukaku from Everton.
Oh, you guys got basically like younger, faster, Zlatan-like Lukaku, which is so scary because, I mean, I saw how good he was last year. And it looks like the consistency is starting to become more, become there on a more consistent basis himself. But I don't know if the bright lights of Manchester United would faze him or not. That's a big concern to me. I mean, you go from a smaller club in Everton to arguably one of the most popular clubs in the world with all eyes upon you. Can you perform at that same consistent level?
Yeah, I don't know. And I did see a rumor, this might just be salacious gossip, that Zlatan was actually thinking of staying at United for another year.
I read that
too.
That's
a myth.
I mean, I don't know if it's true.
Why would he want to stay if he's not number one? And when would he come back? In January, right?
Yeah, I mean, he says that his knee is recovering pretty quickly. I'm not really sure if that's just Zlatan being Zlatan, saying he's the number one in the world and that even his knee is stronger than everything else.
But, I mean, he's a top-tier athlete.
He is a top-tier athlete, and he is old.
That's another thing about sports in just general. We are starting to see the ends of career come at later, more advanced ages than what used to be the common norm in previous athletic generations. You know, guys used to be done by 30, 31. Now they're being able to play 35, 36, 37.
Yeah.
But, and like in Dirk Nowitzki's case, he's going to play until he's 40.
But do you think, so we've already talked about the chance of Rooney going to play in MLS. Zlatan could also make that move.
Yeah, we keep on saying that.
I don't like saying it. I don't like the idea of perpetuating the idea that MLS is a retirement league. I don't think it's what we need.
I think you're slowly starting to get away from that stigma, but you have to also realize...
Exactly, but if big-name players like Schweinsteiger, Rooney, Zlatan go there when they're very old, let's be honest, then we're going to just keep perpetuating that.
All right, man. I don't want to put you on the spot like this, but I'll help out here too, but literally, how many homegrown MLS stars can you name? Because... you might not want it to be a retirement league per se, ticket sales, jersey sales, and things that make money are still star-driven.
So here's my question back at you, and I'm not sure I can answer your question, but I'm going to pose another one at you. Would you rather be a league, or would you rather watch a league where people are coming in, and it's a retirement league, people are coming in from Europe when they're in their mid to late 30s and playing, or would you rather see or watch a league that has young stars from South America come up? Because we're starting to see that push now.
Yeah, which is great. But the problem is that the players from South America don't move ticket sales. They don't communicate with fans that don't speak their language.
But it also does improve the quality of play. And that
I agree.
Could help. That could help push the league forward.
It helps improve the quality of play. But again, there's always that disconnect with communications when it comes to fan interaction and those players. And again, how many of those guys have gone on to become true MLS stars? Besides maybe somebody like, and Vilari doesn't even play for Portland anymore, does he?
No, he does.
Does he still? Okay.
Yeah, he does. He's not a homegrown player. I mean, he's from
Argentina. I understand that. But I mean, again, we're still talking about guys that are coming later in their career, even from Argentina, to coming over to try to help improve the style of play of MLS. One of the knocks I have against MLS is just the fact that it comes from our youth system. And this comes to a very fundamental thought. If we don't prepare our American kids to play soccer with the technique necessary to compete at a much higher level.
No,
athletically, we are there. Technically, we are behind.
Yeah, we've had this discussion time and time again on this show that the college system that we have in the United States that works well for literally every other sport.
It goes further down than
work,
that.
It doesn't work for soccer, though, because then you got kids that, yeah, they're good, they're out of college and they're good, but they're behind the curve professionally.
But it goes down further than that. It goes all the way down to the youth leagues, like where your sister's playing, because they're playing full games trying to win, and that's what the result is. It's not about, oh, did Olive learn how to get a good first touch? It's not about, oh, did she learn how to turn on the ball and hit a good strike? Or did she know how to learn how to read the defense and read the game? No, it's all about wins and losses in America for soccer, even at the youth system level.
I think it's a little bit more about that. And the real disappointment in youth soccer is it's not necessarily just about that. It's also about the money.
That's also an issue, but I pose
like
this.
It's did Lone Star, and I mean not to call anyone out, but did they make money off of these kids?
Oh, that's a question for another time, and that I really couldn't answer myself. I would have to do some research.
Yeah,
I can't say anything like that myself. But I have to ask you, in a fight, who would you take, overzealous American soccer parent or Brazilian soccer player?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know who'd win.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll have the answer on the way back. Make sure you check out the second part of the throw-in right here on 104.9 FM. You're streaming worldwide on hornfm.com.
But we're talking about the most brilliant mind this world has ever seen.
This is the throw-in.
Rolling on a Sunday morning here in Austin, Texas. This is the throw-in on the horn. I'm Zach Christodoulidis, joined in studio with Justin Simmons. No Kit McConico today. He's out. But we're carrying on either way.
Oh, we always strive on. I wish Kit was here, though, man. I would love to have gotten his take on the whole Wayne Rooney situation. Of course, that's the breaking news today. But
oh, I'm not sure he cares.
You can go back on the Horn FM webpage, right? And find us right under the on-air tab on the throw-in, and you can listen back to the first segment after the show is over, just in case you missed it. Of course, we would love to hear what you think, not just about Wayne Rooney, but anything that has to deal with soccer, or maybe what you did this week. And 512-447-3776, 512-337-3776, if you're going to hit us up on the text line. Zach, again, I posed that question to you. Who do you got, overzealous soccer parent or Brazilian soccer player who wins in a fistfight?
I've thought about it over the break. It has to be the overzealous American soccer parent.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not in a fistfight.
I mean, we are playing for a scholarship here today, right? All right. We'll move on. We want to talk. Let's get to that text line real fast. South American stars don't sell tickets. Tell that to Atlanta fans. Again, how many people are following Atlanta FC? I know. Good story, but for the casual sports guy, you know, you're trying to earn more soccer fans here. And again, I haven't really heard much besides that they have been doing well this season. I know Mikey Ambrose is probably going to get a start for them. I saw that he was written up in an article in the Austin American Statesman this past week. So Or
congrats to him, by the way. That's awesome.
I know. It's nice to have a former Austin Aztec, you know, up at a high level like that and being ready to play first-team MLS minutes.
Cleaning up the Specs text line a little bit more, Whistling Wayne texts in, "Well, Zach, since I know you're a United fan, I must now cheer for Man City. And I'm not even a soccer fan." So
that is the right decision.
No, it is not.
See, we won.
You are incorrect.
Blue Moon. See, we won another convert right there. Thank you, Zach. Your love of Wayne Rooney and Manchester United has yet pushed another fan towards the right side of Manchester.
All right. Well, there is other soccer news going on. Of course, Gold Cup action is underway officially now. Justin, did you watch the game? Do you have any hot takes?
Okay. I thought you're... Your takes were a little hotter than mine. It was a hard game to watch. I will say that. It lulled for a long period of time, but I think you wanted to mention this. I think that had a lot to do with the weather surrounding and the time of play.
It was hot. Why are we playing a game in mid-afternoon in the summer?
In the middle of Tennessee?
Someone who knows maybe a little bit more about the weather who was actually at the game, Josh Jackson is joining the show now on the Bob's Steak and Chop House hotline. Josh, what was the atmosphere like, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it really was a hot game. Everyone in the stands was thirsty. The beer was flowing. And the players had to take a water break. And anytime that happens, you know it's warm outside. Anytime they watered the field, everybody was like, "More water." Everybody just needed to cool off at a certain point. And I think the referees were part of the problem. Anytime you have the Gold Cup, if you look at 2015 as an example, you always get CONCACAF. And I think the referees... again, weren't quite up to par like they should have been in this tournament.
Do you want VAR? We know we had it in the Confederations Cup. Would you want that rule instituted here? We don't even have goal line technology in this Gold Cup. We're going old school.
Oh, man. You either love it or you hate it. I have always been a fan of VAR just for the fact that it does help in those situations where it's clear and obvious that maybe there was a handball in the box. I just go back to 2002 World Cup. When USA got jacked for that handball on the line against Germany. And I just think that, hey, if something can help prevent a situation like that, this is pretty much our best chance.
Yeah, but what about if we benefit from that? What about if the opposite team provides a handball on the line? We don't want that called back on the USA. I want to get to a World Cup, and maybe that's what it's going to take.
Well, you also don't want to be the team that just gets to the final, just like Mexico did last Gold Cup, and you CONCACAF two other teams, essentially – by the referee's decisions. I don't know.
This is true. We're talking with Josh Jackson, all-around great guy and soccer fanatic here in the Austin local city limits. Hey, man, you have been all over the place this summer. I know you went to Azteca for the World Cup qualifier. You have been just taking pictures with all the who's when it comes to American soccer. But when we're discussing that Gold Cup game yesterday against Panama, how did the players look since you got to actually see the full 22 on the pitch at all times? It looked like the midfield was lacking a little bit yesterday along with the defense.
Yeah, let me just say the American Outlaws do a great job. And, yeah, especially in Azteca and all the travel trips, they do a wonderful job of just accommodating – all the fans. And you look at a place like Nashville is really, really, it's a city very close and similar to Austin. And the fact that it is a big music city, and there's a lot of soccer fans that are kind of just out there and not really connected. And this is a great opportunity to get everybody in the stadium and people coming out from the woodworks. As far as the product on the field. Yeah. I think a lot of people saw Dax McCarty out there. And as much of a quality as he can provide, he just wasn't making the connections with Costa. And we've seen Acosta, especially in that USA-Mexico game, where he played great, aside from maybe that professional foul he probably should have taken. But I think it's just going to take some time. And this is not going to be the same roster that we're going to have outside of the group stage. So, hey, maybe this is Dax's chance to here in the next couple of games, because Martinique's not going to be an easy team either. They've got a lot of quality. They have a lot of French connections, guys that played in the French under 21s and stuff. So these guys got a lot of quality too. We do have to get past these guys. Panama obviously played really good in the midfield. They played laterally back and forth across our guys. They were a lot quicker than a guy like Dax is. So he needs to add probably a couple more things to his game that he's not used to. And he is going in through a big transition, too, with his trade from New York. New York, he had one specific thing he was very, very good at, and now he's had to change his game too. But he's learning from guys like Schweinsteiger and everything. So I think that could only help his game.
Josh, Dom Dwyer, man. 2 goals, 2 games. How great was he?
Hey, man, I'm a Dom fan. He's just part of the soccer family with Sidney LaRue and their cute little baby. hey, he was tenacious. He was all over the place. He was running after defenders. He was bumping the goalie after, you know, when the goalie had the ball in his hand and everything too. So he's out there. He's trying to get the ball, even in situations where it's a very low percentage chance that he's even going to even touch the ball. So he's out there. He's really pushing it. He was one of the guys that was sweating the most out there. I watched part of his post-match interview, and he's working on his American accent too, which is great, but I love to see him out there. Yeah, exactly. 2 goals, 2 games. It's hard to beat that. If he wants to be one of those subs next year in the World Cup, he's doing a great job so far.
Gotta love the dual national there from Cuckfield, West Sussex, and England.
Yeah, he's playing well for the U.S., and hopefully that will carry over to the World Cup squad. Talking about the possibilities of players making that squad, are we kind of done with this whole Graham Zusi experiment?
Oh, please, can we be done with it?
Oh, man. See, I'm a Zusi fan, too. Zusi does bring a level of experience that a lot of the guys don't have, too.
Does Kyle Beckerman.
Kyle Beckerman is a few steps slower. And I think, you know, in that midfield position, you have to be as intelligent as you can be. And
I know, but Zusi's pace.
Zusi does bring that intelligence, and he did come up the line and provide a few crosses in, even from his right back position. He was touching the other end line on a few occasions in the first half.
I know, but the defensive shape, I mean, it was pretty bad yesterday. There was a lot of chances I felt that Panama could have easily taken the lead and kept it.
Oh, yeah, they had a plethora of chances, and I just got to chime in here. I'm a little tired of Zusi. I'm with you, Justin, but I'm not really sure we have the depth to be able to necessarily go without him. I mean,
which is concerning, considering how many people live in this country. We can't find another right back.
I mean, that position, you even look at MLS, it's a problem.
And this is for the backup right back position, essentially.
Yeah. Josh, what do you think?
If we're playing like what Arena really wants to do and play those wing backs, I don't think Zusi is the right fit because he can't track back as quickly as maybe someone else can. But he also had Bedoya up there, too. Bedoya doesn't switch positions that well. He doesn't come back and able to fill in that back hole. So it's just about finding the right guys. But I do like playing the wing backs, being able to pull the guys all the way down the wing to be able to put those crosses in. You can get a lot more combination play with those wall passes in the midfield, which I do like. But, yeah, I do agree Zusi is not that guy.
You know, guys, I have a great question for you. What is the end game for this Gold Cup for the U.S. men's national team? Do they have to win it in order to be seen as a success? Would Bruce Arena, more importantly, get criticized if the U.S. doesn't win this Gold Cup, even though we didn't take our A squad for this?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think if USA does not win the World Cup, win the Gold Cup, hey, shoot, hey.
I know, 2050 maybe.
When I win the World Cup next year. But, yeah, I think if they don't win the Gold Cup, it's going to be a failure because if you look at last time around and just getting beat out by Jamaica really early on, I think in most Americans' opinion, they really have to save some face, and they really got to put in a better performance. And so two wins in a row here and then going to the knockout stage, clean it out. I think we've got this. I think against a team like Panama, Panama's really good. They did beat us in penalties for the third-place match last time around, and they got CONCACAF by Mexico as well as Costa Rica. So Panama's a very good, very quality team, and I think a 1-1 draw against them is not the worst thing that could happen, especially since we're just warming up here in the Gold Cup.
No, Josh, I think you bring up a good point, and I love how you use CONCACAF as a verb. I think that's just hilarious. But the last 4 times we've played Panama, it's been 1-1 draws. Like, what else were you really expecting? I kind of was expecting the draw going in.
Yeah, I mean, against a team like Panama, it's hard to – you definitely don't want to lose. And that's one of those teams that, shoot, you have to go down and still play them away in qualifying. And these guys always bring a great quality product to the field of guys that sometimes play in MLS too. So some guys that we do have familiarity with.
Josh, I know you were at the stadium, so you didn't see the TV broadcast, but the commentators, it was a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. Every single time someone that plays in MLS got the ball, they were always sure to point it out.
Was it Landon Donovan?
Well, Landon was on the commentary, but okay. But I think he does make a good point. Yes, in the case of the MLS guys, they told us how often that Dax or Kellen Acosta was from an MLS team. It kind of also made me see that the MLS guys have to perform better and more consistently, and it was lacking yesterday.
Yeah, and John Strong, or excuse me, I guess this was on ESPN, wasn't it? So it wasn't John Strong.
No, it was on Fox.
Oh, it was on Fox. Okay, yeah, because I saw those guys hanging around. So, I saw Stu Holden hanging around too. So I wasn't quite sure what station to be on. But it seems like Fox's angle is, especially right now, a year out before the World Cup, is to get all those, you know, casual fans really excited, really educated about the game too. And Fox has kind of always been that, where ESPN maybe had some more in-depth commentary. But yeah. That makes a great point. MLS players do need to step up. They need to be able to show that they've got the quality that, hey, when you call someone an MLS player, it's not a degrading term ever. It's always a positive term. And MLS has always had kind of that stigmatism where, okay, well, you know, brought up Landon Donovan, even a type of guy like him who could have played anywhere in Europe, decided to come back and really work at MLS and make it better. To me, I think that's a positive image, but it hasn't always had that quality. And if you look at, hey, what we're trying to do, what a lot of people want to do, promotion relegation in this country, you have to have all your best players playing here if that's going to happen.
Josh, switching gears just a little bit here, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but the game was played in Nashville, Tennessee, a city that's trying to get an MLS expansion team. Do you think the crowd out there was proof to the bigwigs over at MLS that that city is deserving?
I did hear some news that I was prior to kickoff that they had kind of moved up the Don Garber pecking list in terms of MLS expansion. And experience in the city, like I said, it's a lot similar to Austin. It has a huge music scene. Their setup is amazing, though. Where the stadium is, it's on the east bank of the Cumberland River. You can walk right across the bridge and go right to downtown, right to where all the bars and all the live music is. They've got they do have a huge soccer loving population too. That was one great thing to see. Even at the tailgate, there was a lot of local people talking about it. There was a big, huge buzz about MLS in Nashville. And if you look at what happened with hockey too, there was just a huge following. And I think that's carried over quite a bit too. And having an organization like the Tennessee Titans in there, I mean, shoot, I don't see why they're not a shoe-in for one of the, if not the next two, but the next four spots.
That's pretty intense, considering I really didn't even have Nashville on my radar personally, and that just shows you how much competition there is when it comes to wanting a new soccer franchise in the MLS.
I think the total attendance at yesterday's game was upwards of 47,000, which is impressive. They didn't necessarily sell out the stadium completely. There were still some upper deck seats available, but the lower bowl seating did look pretty full, and credit to the American Outlaws, because that section looked like a riot, man. How was that?
Yeah, the atmosphere was great. The night before party, Bruce Arena actually showed up.
Whoa!
I met my brother. There, my family lives in Arkansas, so we made kind of a little family vacation of it. And so my brother noticed a lot of cameras coming in through the back door. I thought, oh my gosh, that's Bruce Arena coming in. So that was great that he came in and he addressed the crowd and really just gave a big pep speech to all the American Outlaws on the night before party. And that really set the tone for the day of too. It was a hot one, especially when we were starting the tailgate, you know, around noon. But we had, we had plenty of beer. We had everybody. That's one of the things that I love about the American Outlaws is all the leadership is out there. They're cooking food. They're the ones pressing the logos onto the shirts and stuff for people. They're not just sitting around. Those guys are in there and working and make sure everybody's having a great time. Had a bounce house out there. They had live music, live DJ. And then we had we had about a half a mile march to the stadium, and it was, and we were allowed, and there was everybody, the news crews, people were out there with their cell phones taking videos. And once we got to the stadium, we kept it going. Everybody, Chris Apien on the drums, and Ryan Shariah, these guys are from Phoenix. They just kept the drums going the whole time, and it was an amazing atmosphere, even though it was hot.
He is Josh Jackson. He was out in Nashville yesterday at the U.S. men's national team game against Panama. Josh, thanks so much for your time today. And, hey, next time you have one of those pickup games, give me an invite, okay?
Yeah, sure thing, guys. All right, y'all have a great day. Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, man. Thank you for checking in. Josh Jackson, man, he has been everywhere this summer, and, I'm going to have to keep track of his Instagram because I'm not sure where he's going to end up next.
He's met so many awesome people. I've seen him have pictures with Alexis Lalas, I think, when he was down there.
Yeah.
In Mexico. He's a member of the Greek tribe. So.
Well, it was because of Josh I got to meet Jimmy Conrad and got to go play in that pickup game because he was the one that told me about it. And that was an awesome experience. So, man.
That was great. And he must be experiencing a summer of soccer, I think, this year.
Talking about the rest of the Gold Cup, two games tonight, Jamaica, I promised myself I wasn't going to mess up Curaçao. I was going to say Curaçao. That shows you how much fun I had during 4th of July. And then
it's still going.
It's still going, right? And then Mexico. I didn't have to go back to work for just more than a couple of days this past week. And then Mexico, El Salvador is going to be later on tonight. And Mexico, I'm sure, is the favorite in that one.
Yeah, you got to be sure to watch those games. All right, guys, you're listening to The Throw-In on The Horn 104.9 AM 1260. Download that new Horn app or stream it at hornfm.com. This is where Austin talks sports, where Austin talks soccer.
Welcome back to The Throw-In.
This is The Throw-In every Sunday morning at 9 here on 104.9 The Horn. This is Austin's only soccer talk show. Cleaning up the specs text line, you can always give us your thoughts at 512-337-3776. This text comes in. Man U fans, you do not need to worry about Wayne Rooney leaving. Nothing will change. They will still be, just as terrible.
Yes, isn't that the truth? It's the truth.
I think Lukaku's
going to...
No, come on. Why has this turned into... Where are all the texts that say Wayne Rooney was great? I love what he did for the team. Where are all those texts? Why is everyone just using this as an opportunity to take a dump on Manchester United?
Because that's what people have always been doing. You guys have been somewhat decent, so you could put the blinders on, but now you're starting to see that glory era
come. Oh, come on.
Slowly.
Last year was good. We're going to be playing in Champions League this year.
I know, but you barely made it to Champions League.
Oh, come on.
You had to
barely
take
you know what?
You had to take the NIT way in.
Oh, come on. No.
Yes,
no.
Yes. And you almost
lost. We did not almost lose.
You almost lost in the semis.
No, okay, yeah, but we didn't, did we? We got in. We got through. We're going to be playing in Europe, okay?
I could tell that you feel very passionately about this, Zach, but there were possibilities of you guys not making it. But hey, you'll be there, and it's going to be without Wayne Rooney. And don't you think
we're going to be with Lukaku.
And give me some credit here. I'm out there hustling to try to gain new Manchester City fans, we're winning.
All I have to do is say that I'm a Man United fan.
At a time.
All I have to do is say that I'm a Man United fan, and then you get a City fan. What is this?
It's the way the world works.
I'm annoyed. I need to get on an airplane.
It's time to go around the world. Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Fueled by Breakfast Tacos.
Breakfast tacos and coffee.
I hid in the storage compartment. That's how I got on board this plane,
Zach. You don't have your passport?
Actually, I need to get that renewed personally. But yeah, let's see. Where are we going to start off with, man? You want to get the sad one out of the way first? Or?
Yeah, we can talk about this.
Okay. Man, Bradley Lowry. What a great kid, man. Unfortunately, he was struck with a very rare cancer, I believe, and he fought hard. He really united the soccer fans around England and around the world. And
now, if you saw the tributes to him on social media, had all the different teams from around the league last year. Anytime anyone played Sunderland, they just always would have United signs that would say one team. And he really found a way to unite all the football fans across the country.
Yeah, I never thought I would actually ever see the outpouring of love that I saw for him. And I get a little teary thinking about the fact that I forgot which English sports show it was, but they gave him Goal of the Month for December.
Yeah. I think it was either BBC or Sky Sport, something like that.
But may the young lad rest in peace. And again, what a terrific story that he brought upon all that love. But unfortunately, it comes to what we knew was going to be essentially a sad ending. Yeah. But now that we got through that part, let's move on as we go to let's talk about Italy, man.
What are they doing? What are the crazy Italians doing now?
Well, the Italian FA president, Carlo Tavecchio, he had mentioned that there could possibly be lap dances at these soccer stadiums.
Like during the games?
Not during the
games. Is it to distract them from the bad play? Now, can we get that at United?
Now, the reason I mentioned the last part of his quote first is because I think that's all that anybody else remembers if they were checking the headlines this week. But he also followed up to say there shouldn't only be football in stadiums. He mentioned there should be pharmacies, cinemas, supermarkets. We need to have more social activities. And then he went on to say there could even be lap dancing. So
it's like he's talking about around the stadium or like inside the stadium. Do we need a Whole Foods inside a stadium here in Austin?
That could work. I would actually love to see that. And that's what he was getting at. Again, you have to remember a lot of these stadiums are paid for with public money. So you want to get more use out of them. You don't want them to end up like we've seen in China or Brazil where they built those stadiums for those big events. And now they're just sitting there
empty. No. And you got to give credit because I think there's a lot of American franchises, especially soccer franchises, that are starting to move past that and really want to market the stadium as a non-government funded entity. You look at what the Timbers are doing up there in Portland with the Providence Park expansion, all done through revenue generated from the team. There's not going to be any money from the city going to that project.
Wow, that's really cool. And I think that's how it should work with almost any stadium, is that the people that own the team should fit the bill. So to speak.
Not really sure what that says for us here in Austin, but...
Wait, man, don't give up hope. I know people are working on it. Top secret people are working on this day in and day out. All you have to do is keep the faith, and I think it will actually happen. You know, we don't have too much about this whole around the world thing today, so let's just go back to America. Let's talk about some charity soccer. I love it. It's never too early to talk about American football in the great state of Texas, because let's admit it, we live for the Friday night lights, especially here in Austin, where we have some of the best high school teams in the state of Texas.
No, if I'm not watching soccer... I'm not watching anything but American football. I can't deal with basketball. I can't deal with baseball.
See, but I love all the sports are like my children, man. I love all the sports.
I
had somebody tweet that to me today, this week. It's like, do you love soccer? And I had to sit there and think about it. It's like, well, yeah, man, I love soccer, but I love all the sports. I mean, played rugby in college, love basketball, love watching football, American football.
Now, charity matches are always an interesting thing. So what went down at this one?
Well, I think we got... We got an appearance from Beast Mode himself, Mr. Marshawn Lynch.
Okay, now everyone at home, you know who Marshawn Lynch is, even if you're not an NFL fan. He's this guy.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Well, I think he was here out there for the charity, too, this time. And I know he put a lot of smiles on people's faces. Beast Mode enters the game,
right? Now, did he have prior engagements?
I don't know.
He must have had something else going on. Let's get through the story, and then we'll tell you why I think that.
We'll post the video on Facebook later on after the show. But Beast Mode shows up, right? He in the 90th minute. He's dressed in flip-flops and, like, warm-up pants, and it's just like, this can't be serious. And then he starts running, and he's fast. And he gets all the way to the box, right? And then he picks up the ball, and then
picks up the ball as then he's dribbling the ball. He literally picks up the ball.
And then,
like you would in football.
And then gives you like that Beast Mode shoulder shrug past the goalkeeper into the goal for the score. And like the commentator is going crazy, counting it as a score. I'm like, okay, so I see some Harlem Globetrotter stuff going on in this game. But it's for charity. I'm all for it. Then the referee gives him a red card and sent him off.
And then so you're forgetting or you're leaving out the part where Marshawn then goes over to the referee, grabs the red card out of his hand and throws it at him.
On the way back? Yeah, that was awesome, man. And that just goes to show you, like, soccer, slowly but surely, we mention it every week, but it continues to grow into like the national realm of importance here in the United States when you get these little crossover effects. And yeah, it's even better when it's for charity.
That was just an awesome moment and a great show of support. But you got to say, like, did he just want to get off the field? Did he really not want to play soccer?
Well, he did get a new contract with the Oakland Raiders this year. So maybe he's trying to save those legs for the start of NFL preseason camp.
Yeah, I don't know.
Training
camp.
Yeah.
You gotta love that story.
Zach, I wanted to ask you while we still had some time, MLS regular
season.
Yeah.
You want me to talk about my Timbers? Is that what this is?
Just
you're gonna have
bit.
Me talk about one of my favorite United players leaving the club, and
okay,
now I have to talk about what a disappointment my Timbers have been this
year.
Okay,
really quick, then let me fit this in because this might take a while, real fast. Okay, got a chance to go to the FC Austin Elite game last week. Had a great time.
We got to talk local soccer first. Let's talk about this.
I just wanted to mention it real quickly. You know, Danny Woodfield, he mentioned it all season. You know, go out, see a game. Finally made it to the final home game of the regular season. It was a terrific venue. We just saw it that the Quidditch U.S.
Oh,
Open
yeah.
Cup.
So the Round Rock Multiplex Complex is also going to be the host of the 2018 Quidditch Championship.
Yes. So I'm telling you, the complex is beautiful.
And you said it wasn't as hot as you thought it was going to be.
Not if you're one of the fans. They had that nice awning, gave you some great shade. Obviously, since it's in Round Rock, you know, you can sell the good stuff out there.
And you got the beers.
Got plenty of cerveza. You know, had a good time. He let me get on the mic, do some PA work.
Oh, very cool.
That was always fun. And, you know, Danny.
When you go on the PA, do you do more of a wrestling style since you are the former professional wrestler, or do you go soccer announcer style?
Just depends on what the owner will let you get away with.
Did you get to yell goal?
Yes. Actually, I did. Within the first 2 minutes of the game, Austin FC Elite scored. They took the 1-0 lead, and then Houston South Select. I think they just had the fresher legs that day. It was a quick turnaround for FC Austin Elite, and they lost 2-1. But everybody had a great time out there, and I wish I was able to make it to more games, and I look forward to doing more, to going to see more games next season, and I encourage everybody to go out as
now,
well.
Now, I'm a little bit bummed that I didn't get the chance to go out there. I had prior engagements last week, and it was, of course, our last home game. But I think next season, we have to make a throw-in road trip where all of us go out there.
Definitely.
Watch these games.
Well, again, big thanks to GM Danny Woodfield for having me out there. And
we have to have him on one of these weeks to recap the season, too.
Oh, definitely so. And, you know, make sure that you're always looking around for him because you just never know what he's going to come up with next. I you know, through the grapevine, I heard there might be some plans for some additions to be made, you know, in the near future. So you never know.
That's a cool story. All right. Now, do I have to talk about my Timbers?
Well, not just your Timbers, but the whole fact that, like, the regular season doesn't matter in MLS.
Yeah, this is a conversation I've wanted to have for a few weeks now. And it just seems to me this is my first full season of MLS fandom. And I just get the sense that the regular season just doesn't matter. Like, they all just can, like, get by. It's one of the few leagues around the world where you can just kind of cruise along, and as long as you get the draw or even lose a few games, you'll be fine. The Timbers were red hot to start the season. I was so excited. And now it feels like the last four games, even though they've been draws, they've felt like losses, and it doesn't really seem to be bothering anyone.
Yeah, but if you make the playoffs, does it really matter?
Exactly. No, that's my point, is that the playoffs is all that anyone's ever playing for, and the fact that, what is it, 7 teams out of 11 make it into the playoffs? That seems
Something like that. Ridiculous.
It might as well be 10. Just send all of them to the playoffs.
Well, the thing is that when it comes to the pro-reg conversation here in this country, it's just that a lot of people will argue is that there's too much money to be made or to be lost in the case of the owners if they were to go down a division.
No, and that's part of the thing with MLS is that it's more of a money deal. They want to make sure the league is sustainable before they start adding promotion and relegation. But I think that as soon as we're done expanding, I think we're going to have to keep things fresh somehow. Like, that's an honest question of mine. How do, like, people that are fans of Major League Baseball and NFL and NBA and all that, how do they feel just having the same teams every single year, not having it change in any way?
But it eventually does change because teams get better in the front office. I mean, a lot of it has to do with luck, though. It's not necessarily money like it is in the top tier world of soccer, but in that case, it's kind of like draft picks and some luck. I mean, that's just like the Golden State Warriors, for as good as they are, it wouldn't have come together unless like 14 different things didn't fall in line for them. That goes from Steph Curry's knees to injuries and other contracts.
And I'm just, you know, talking here, but I think that part of the reason why we don't have promotion relegation is because we do have the draft. Like, there's
That's
we're
true.
The only country in the world that has that kind of system. Everyone else, they're developing players from really young ages. You look at how the club systems work in Europe, and they're not drafting new players out of college. They're growing them up in their own institution and forming them into good players, and they already have them signed contracts at, you know, sometimes 5 years old or 6 years old if they're that good. And they develop them from there.
I know, and that's why it comes back to a whole youth situation in this country. And we're starting to see the academies, though, come here from the MLS teams. I mean, Dallas, you look at Kellen Acosta, one of those kids that came through the system, as Phil West was was so kindly to remind me. I was like, yes, but he doesn't sell tickets.
I disagree. I think if he gets to be a superstar for the national team, I think he will help sell tickets.
Maybe. It's a tough track to Frisco, though.
It's definitely a problem, and that's something that I think is known about the MLS teams in Texas, is that it's hot in the summer, and for a myriad of other reasons, in Dallas and Houston, ticket sales aren't great.
True. But when it comes to that whole pro-reg thing, I don't know if we'll ever see it, and that's because we're expecting the MLS to run completely error-free. I mean, other leagues have had problems with lockouts and player strikes. Who knows when that might happen to MLS? And we don't even know how things are going to look after this next couple of expansions take place.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see on that one. I hate to say that. I feel like that's kind of a cop-out. But I think that MLS is still expanding. That's the important thing. And we're not anywhere near the time when any sport, I think, in the U.S. is going to have promotion relegation.
No, but it always makes for an interesting conversation.
Exactly. This is The Throw-In on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. You stream it at hornfm.com. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week, Austin. Enjoy the soccer.